Good morning. It's 8th of August. Our New Testament reading today is Mark chapter 3. Once again, I'm going to read to you from Brother Lou Sargent. At the end of chapter 2, Jesus has declared himself to be Lord of the Sabbath. Brother Sargent comments thus. Behind this statement of Jesus, once again, lies an Old Testament allusion. It is to the psalm already referred to in this study, in which David himself had said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." That, of course, is from Psalm 8. The psalmist is recalling the Genesis account of creation, in which the man was given dominion over the earth and its living things. Jesus interprets the psalm by distinguishing between man and the Son of Man, which in his source are in poetic parallelism, and thus he is able not only to identify this Son of Man with himself, but to say that his dominion over all things, as the second Adam, must include even the Sabbath. Thus it is the distinctive turn which these sayings have in Mark's record that provides the clues to their source and their full meaning. What lordship of the Sabbath meant, Jesus showed in another Sabbath incident. When he next entered the Capernaum synagogue, it was to be for the last time. A man with a withered hand, or paralysed, was, doubtless by design, in a place where Jesus could not fail to see him. Expecting that Jesus would heal him, the Pharisees were watching carefully, ready to bring the charge of breach of the Sabbath under their very eyes. This was not a case where treatment was urgent, but one in which the man's condition would be no worse the next day. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus took up the challenge boldly and, calling the man into full view, confronted them with an issue of principle. "Rise," he said, "stand here in the midst." Then, looking to the Pharisees, he asked, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" As Lord of the Sabbath, with all that it meant, the power to make alive was vested in him. To use it was a true fulfilment of the Sabbath in its purpose, as a gift for men, and as a type of that purpose consummated in the future kingdom. To withhold it for the sake of other men's hypocritical scruples, for such they were, would have been to negate the power, to deny the type, to leave the man to his affliction, and hence, in the deepest sense, to destroy. Where they had thought to judge him, Jesus, as he so often did, showed that it was they who were being judged. But first they had the chance to judge themselves, for they were brought to a crisis of conscience. The real bar to acknowledging the principle was a particular application of it, not to the man in their midst, but to themselves. Jesus knew their mounting enmity, and they could see that he knew. He knew also that they had reached a point beyond which there would be no return. If at this stage they were honest enough to admit the principle, there was hope for them. If they continued on their way, the enmity would stop short of nothing but his death. The time had come to judge whether they were already killers in their hearts. In one moment of sultry silence, they gave the verdict on themselves. Once again, Mark alone describes the movement of Jesus and gives name to his emotions. He looked round about on them with anger. May it be that on the day of his return, he will look upon us with an altogether different feeling and emotion. Thank you for listening.